This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes, I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
At American Eagle this spring, we're going wild for bold prints, utility-inspired looks, and can't-miss camo prints. Plus, don't miss your favorite jeans now reimagined for max comfort without losing the authentic jean look. Shop in-store or online at AE.com.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at Omicid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
All right, welcome back again to the Phillies Today podcast. As always, I am your host, Dan Wilson. Some other orders of business we have to get to this week. The number one kind of debate sweeping Phillies Nation at the moment is who the leadoff hitter should be. I know that the WIP Morning Show has debated this. I know my co-host Fran has debated it. And there's debate. Like, the three main candidates, I would say, are Kyle Schwarber, Bryson Stott, Trey Turner. There's cases for all of them. First of all, I don't love the idea of Stott. I know it feels like the idea of Stott, the leadoff hitter, was like a lot better 2 years ago. The guy used to work a good at bat. Now, he didn't actually walk a ton, but he used to at least see a lot of pitches, foul pitches off, and when he would get on base, that would kind of have a nice ripple effect for the hitters behind him. But for guys like, you know, for a guy who didn't work that great of an at-bat last year, like, he really struggled at the plate, and he wasn't seeing nearly as many pitches. Like, he's not one of the better hitters in your lineup. Like, he's more like an eight hitter. I understand the allure of him. I understand the idea of him. And, like, the righty-lefty thing. So Rob Thompson was actually asked about this, was like, would you ever hit him in your lineup one? He's like, well, you know, then you got... You know, it sets up a situation where if you have a lefty at the bottom of your lineup and maybe a couple of lefties at the bottom of your lineup, like, I know Schwarber's already lefty, but then where are you going to hit Schwarber and where are you going to hit Bryce and everything? You're going to have, basically what he was explaining is that at one point or another, you're going to have a pocket of like too many righties or too many lefties in a row, which he doesn't really care for. And even if it wasn't that, maybe this is Rob Thompson's just nice way of saying it, I don't think Rysen Stott is especially equipped to be this team's leadoff hitter at the moment. He doesn't feel like he needs to prove to me over the course of at least a couple months at a time that he can work a good at bat, get on base way more than he does, like get work way more walks than he does. I mean, it's, again, I get the allure of him. I get that he, you know, in prior years probably worked a better at bat than some of the other guys on the team. I get it was, he saw a lot of pitches, he fouls a lot of pitches off. His strikeout rate used to be considerably lower. As I pull up his numbers here just from last year, like, the guy's OPS was 671, his on base was 315. His on base took a dip from the year before. His like he just didn't see nearly as many pitches. And for a guy to have a 315 on base and a 671 OPS, which was down from 747 the year before, like 245 batting average, I get the concept of Stott. It doesn't really make a whole lot of sense in practicality, I don't think, to make Stott your guy. So that's an idea I'm out on. Schwarber, I get why you don't want to do it. It feels like more of the same. I mean, my personal vote, let me just say off the bat, like, I think to start the year, I'll understand it if he does Turner. I'd still stick with the Schwarber thing. Turner, just, I feel like his stock is so low. Also, I know you're going to hit him too, and that's not really doing it any good, but for the amount he chases, for the number of times he chases in a game over the course of a season, for, frankly, the upside of him is, you know, maybe you get him in a different spot, you shake things up, and it lights a spark, and you start running Turner more, that kind of thing. But for the number of times that he will chase out of the zone, will get a first, you know, first at bat out, like a leadoff out, is going to be alarming. And I understand that Schwarber's not Mr. Batting Average. He's a lot of power, stuff like that. But they do have an overwhelmingly winning record when Schwarber leads off. I mean, that's just the fact of the matter. And that's kind of been the identity for the past 3 years. So whatever they do, I like to see them stick with it. I am getting the sense that it's going to be Turner, just kind of listening to the quotes from down in Clearwater. It does feel like this is kind of a Trey Turner. We might be looking at, you know, Turner one, and then you got a righty at one. Maybe they slot Bryce up to two as a lefty, and then, you know, are you moving maybe Bohm or Castellanos up three, so that way you get Schwarber, the lefty, at four. I'm not exactly sure what Thompson would do. Again, he does like to kind of commit to that lefty-righty thing, so we'll see what he does there, but this is going to be interesting, and this is going to be a debate that basically goes all spring training long. I would imagine we see both guys, but you'll have a sense by the end of, again, these 31 spring training games, like who led off more, who got the opportunity to hit early in the lineup more, and especially as they build up towards the end of spring and into opening day of the season. I do think we'll have a pretty good feel for who the leadoff guy is going to be. So I would be open to the... If it was up to me, I'd keep Schwarber. If I'm open to the Turner thing, but Turner just does, he hasn't worked a great at bat. He hasn't put together more than a couple good months together for the Phils. And he is... Putting him in leadoff is going to be asking a lot. And I know people have their criticisms of Schwarber, that he, you know, he was a power reliant hitter and he struck out too much, and some people thought he clogged the bases, and Turner would be the more prototypical guy. But more traditional and more prototypical and different, I don't believe, always equates to better. So that's kind of my caution flag with that. I know it's kind of like the biggest thing on everybody's mind, and not for nothing, like, you move one guy, you're moving a whole bunch of guys out of order. I mean, I know leadoff is kind of where it starts, but, you know, Bryce was asked by good friend of the show, Tim Kelly, of On Pattison earlier in the week, you know, what his thoughts on, you know, what his, basically what his feeling on hitting in the two hole would be, you know. And so that is something that I can understand. Like, he, you know, he hitting on the two hole or moving in the lineup, and he's like, you know, I'm a three hitter, but I could see moving up to 2 through 4. You're obviously not going to hit Bryce 2 through 4. It doesn't seem like he's really in the mood or in the running for hitting leadoff, which would be more of an analytical approach. I mean, this feels like a guy who, when push comes to shove, will be hitting 2 or 3, probably rely on whether there's a righty or lefty in the leadoff spot. I mean, for all these years, it was Schwarber batting leadoff, so you wanted Bryce 3 because he's the lefty, and so you need a righty and Turner between them. If Turner moves up, Bryce is probably moving up behind him, and that would get Bryce Harper more at-bats. Now, that part I do actually like. The idea of getting Bryce more at-bats, I'm always in favor of. Like, the idea of getting Bryce more time at the dish, getting more, you know, reps at the plate, I am definitely in favor of. So I kind of can understand why people would be against it. I can understand why people don't are resistant to the change, but ultimately I think I almost like the Turner moving up to leadoff better from that perspective than just keeping than the actual part of Turner leading off. Because the Turner leading off, there's going to be all kinds of trials and tribulations with that, and all kinds of trial and error with that. That's going to be frustrating as hell. And you can already tell it would be annoying at times. You can tell that it would be frustrating to watch. And he just oftentimes does not put together an at bat that you can be proud of. So that's kind of where I stand on that. Other things that, you know, Thompson kind of spoke on it, and he seemed to allude to the fact that it's going to be Trey Turner. That would be my guess, for what it's worth. Like, is that Trey is going to lead off? It feels like Trey is going to be this team. And again, I hope they stick to it if that's the case. Like, I don't want him, if he struggles, if he starts the year, you know, 2 for 21, I don't want to see him pulled out after a couple of weeks. Like, you got to ride this thing and not just be like, all right, well, we gave you 2 weeks of a shot, now we're going back to Schwarber. Like, no, this needs to be something that you're willing to grind with, you're willing to start the season with. If it's not working after, you know, a month, 6 weeks or so, maybe get Schwarber on standby. Thompson's pretty good at checking in with guys, knowing how guys feel about certain things, knowing what kind of, you know, riff certain things will cause in the clubhouse, knowing how to kind of manage those egos. I think that's probably one of his best attributes as a manager, is his ability to manage that sort of thing. So certainly looking forward to kind of how this plays itself out, so to speak, looking forward to what it is that maybe Thompson presses this button and it works, and hopefully they're hoisting a World Series trophy in late October, early November, and we're all saying that this was kind of one of the catalysts for that. I just have my doubts about Trey Turner. Other things that I kind of wanted to get into. So Thompson talked about the chase rate as well, and, you know, a lot was made of Dombrowski's quote last October when they got bounced about how they were only middle of the pack in chase rate, which felt a little tone deaf to me. Felt a little like, yeah, we're just going to do the same thing. We're not really making big changes. There were no real big changes made this past offseason. I mean, Hoffman's gone. Estevez is gone. But they signed Jordan Romano. Overall, got Jesus Luzardo. But overall, like, the moves we're talking about are relatively marginal. And we're talking about a team that is going to look relatively the same. So it's kind of up to the guys on the team to make tangible changes from what we saw a season ago. It's up to the guys on the team to make those adjustments that will get them over the hump. Because it never really looked the same after the All-Star break last year. There were points where they looked strong in August, points in September, but it never looked the same as they did earlier in the season, and then the postseason just was obviously never the same. I kind of alluded to this in the last episode, but Castellanos's quote about you can't just look ahead to October, like, you got to enjoy the ride of the regular season, I think is a good mindset to have. I think that's a good that's a good framework for kind of how I feel. Probably how most of the players feel. Castellanos was just brave enough to say it. And then a few other orders of business here. Going back to the idea of Stott leadoff, he did mention that he was injured with last year. He was dealing, I guess, for the course of last season. He never really felt right, which is kind of frustrating. Felt like that had been, you know, reported upon somewhat, not a ton. This was as of a day ago on MLB.com from Todd Zielecki. He was a Gold Glove finalist, but he injured his right elbow in a game last May, and he struggled offensively the rest of the way. He said he messed up this nerve, is what he said on Monday at BayCare Ballpark when the Phillies held their first squad workout. So I guess he was dealing with a right elbow injury. We never really knew about it. I mean, May on's pretty bad, but I mean, listen, I get he's hurt and he's trying to play through it, but at a certain point, you got to shut him down and let that thing heal if that's an issue. Like, I almost fault him and whoever knew about it for not speaking up, so to speak, about trying to get something like that fixed. So that kind of frustrates me a little bit that we're just hearing about that now. Feels like that's something that should have been handled and alluded to maybe a little bit earlier than May. I think you could have afforded to sit him down in June and the team would have been doing just fine. I think you could have afforded in July. You know, I get it, not August, September, October maybe, but earlier in the season, like, he should have spent some time in the injured list. And, you know, you get Sosa more run at second base, or whatever the case might be. Like, you could have Buddy Kennedy, whoever else you want to plug in there, Whit Merrifield was still on the team at the time. Like, whatever infielder you want to plug in there, like, I think you could have definitely conceivably made that work. So that was another thing. And then kind of Kyle Schwarber said he was open to hitting in the lineup anywhere, which is, you know, nice. Dombrowski kind of spoke to the effect of how this team is pretty similar to last year. The last thing I wanted to hit on, which was Bryce Harper's contract. Now, he said the right thing when he was asked about it. He was asked, you know, is this something, once again by our guy Tim Kelly, is this something that you feel, not will continue to linger, but is that something you still want to get done? And this is a guy who's seen, you know, last year it came up, the contract was not, you know, touched at all. Otani signs his massive deal. Juan Soto signs an even bigger deal this past offseason. And now he's making, like, less than half those guys, which is crazy because it was the biggest contract at the time when he signed it. And so he was asked about it. He's like, yeah, I'll leave that up to Boris and Dave, and, you know, kind of deflected it a little bit. But then in the end, he still circled back to, he's like, yeah, that's something we'll try to get done. So still get the sense he wants that contract looked at. I don't know if the Phillies are necessarily moving on that. I don't know if that's something they necessarily agree with. But something to keep in mind. I doubt that, again, that would impact Bryce in any way, or that he would keep that in the back of his holster. But I would imagine that I imagine it's something that Bryce would want to get done at some point, whether it's this year or next year. Kind of crazy to believe, by the way, that coming up July 1st or whatever the midpoint is, that it's going to be the midway point of Harper's contract. I mean, we're entering year 7 here. He signed it. I can't believe it's been that long, frankly. Prior to the 2019 season, just everything pre-COVID seems so long ago. But yeah, he was here 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24. So he's already had 6 years. I'm going to play half a season. He's going to hit the midway point of that contract. Going to be kind of cool to look back on that contract, you know, 6.5 years backwards, and say, like, what an amazing, you know, run it's been thus far. Obviously, a number of playoff runs, the Bedlam at the Bank home run is kind of where the conversation begins for Bryce in a Phil's uniform. But it does feel like that contract extension is coming at some point. You got to imagine, whether it's him leading it or Boris leading it, you do have to imagine that's something that will get pushed over the edge at some point here. You can't imagine that he'll just let that linger forever. He wants to get paid. Obviously, the back end of this contract's not going to be as sexy as the front end of it, but that is certainly something to keep an eye on here as, again, spring training moves on. So, schedule kind of for the week. Spring training kicks off in Lakeland on Saturday against the Tigers. That'll be the Grapefruit League opener, first of 31 games. They'll be in Lakeland, taking on the Tigers on Saturday. That game will not be on TV on NBC Sports Philadelphia locally, but you can listen to it on 94 WIP. And then on Sunday, another home against the Orioles will be the home opener of the Grapefruit League, game at BayCare Ballpark in Clearwater against the Orioles. Game will also be on 94 WIP as well as NBC Sports Philadelphia. So very much looking forward to baseball just being back. Amazing that just a few days earlier here, and coming up on Thursday, on February 20th, we will actually have the first spring training game overall. It'll be the Cubs and Dodgers, 3:05 Eastern. So I guess that's 12:05 local time. Or no, still 1:05 local time out in Arizona, because they're only 2 hours behind right now for the next couple of weeks. So Cubs, Dodgers, I guess the Dodgers get to host that opening game as virtue of being the World Series champs, kind of similar to how the Eagles will host the first game when that time comes next year. Although I don't think Brewers-Yankees, I know, is the opening game. Dodgers open with a 7-10 game on opening day. So they get the first, by virtue of winning the World Series, they get the first spring training game, so that'll be pretty cool to see. Just happy that, again, baseball is back, and happy that we will have meaningful baseball played not too far away. So that's going to do it for today's episode of Phillies Today. Stay tuned again. Francisco Rojas, Justin Morgenstein, my counterparts. Next time we talk, Grapefruit League action will be underway.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This podcast is brought to you by Kleenex Lotion Tissues. You can't predict sick days, but with Kleenex Lotion Tissues, you can be better prepared for them while helping keep your skin healthy. Whether it's a surprise sneeze or a stuffy nose, it's always good to have something gentle on hand. Kleenex Lotion Tissues moisturize to help prevent skin irritation while you're battling those unwanted cold and flu symptoms. It's extra care when you need it most. I mean, why not have one less thing to worry about when you're not feeling your best? For whatever happens next, grab Kleenex.
So I actually tried Gemini a couple days ago, the Gemini Live where you can talk to it, and it is really crazy to have a full-on conversation with this thing. I was just messing around, you know? So I asked it to give me ideas for hosting during the holidays. And when it starts giving you results, you can just stop it and say, okay, but what about something low-key for a smaller group? And then it adjusts to that, and you can just keep going until you get an idea you want. I think that's what I would use it for the most, brainstorming stuff. It's so good if you don't know where to start or if you hit a wall, you just go to Gemini. It helps you get the ball rolling. But obviously, you can use it for all kinds of stuff. If you want to learn something new, you can have it give you advice, ask it to explain Bitcoin in simple terms, or you can have it quiz you on microbiology. I mean, imagine being a student and you've got this personal tutor on hand. It's hard to explain. You really just have to play around with it, see how it listens to you, responds, adapts to your style of conversation. Just try it out. It's free.
Is your team at work feeling a little disconnected? Maybe the workflow's not flowing? Try Confluence by Atlassian. Confluence is the connected workspace where teams can create, organize, and deliver work like never before. In Confluence, teams can whiteboard their vision for any project, easily create or access the relevant pages and resources they need, and discover important context they might not even know they need. Plus, AI helps teams jumpstart brainstorms, organize information, and connect workflows, so teams can move efficiently and create alignment with ease. In fact, with Confluence, teams can see 5.2% average boost in productivity in 1 year. So if your team lacks confidence, try Confluence, the connected workspace where teams can do it all. Set knowledge free with Confluence. Learn more at Atlassian.com/Confluence. That's Atlassian.com/Confluence.
The March to Spring training and opening day is upon us. Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring here, and we'll have you covered every single day with podcasts that aim to educate, entertain, and inform you as a baseball fan. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.